What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb zloty kjer.
Hello, and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
I'm very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
I noticed you're rocking a nice little t-shirt there.
Listen, it was a prototype. I don't know. I'm kind of glad we didn't go with this one, to be honest.
It's great stuff for a audio medium only, but Andy's wearing one of our prototype merchandise t-shirts.
Yes, and the t-shirts should be arriving this week.
Oh, very good.
But, so that's exciting. Listen, Terry, first of all, before I even ask you how you are, you may notice 30, I'm in different...
30 seconds in and you're telling me to listen already.
Listen, if you would just listen to me, I wouldn't have to keep saying it.
Yeah, listen, here's the thing.
I'm in a different room than the last couple of weeks. And that's no accident, Terry. That's because my energy levels... I was listening back to the episode last week. I sounded like I was having a conversation, like, mid-sleep. I was like, is this really how I sound? So I'm off the couch, I'm sitting upright.
You know what? I did think that last time after listening to the Iron Man 3 episode, after listening to The Simpsons, I was like, we were a bit low energy. We're only human.
So, you know, I'm correcting it. Yeah. I'm correcting that and my posture, anyway.
Well, how have you been?
I have been well, Terry. Now, this may excite you right off. Why do you do it? And why do I fall for it every time? Oh, that's aggressive. Oof. That's not playing around.
Now, would you like to know what I'm drinking?
I'd love to.
It is a Hope Brewery.
Another Hope.
American Pale Ale Summer Seasonal 2020. So this is a limited edition, I assume.
I imagine they're all limited editions, are they?
No.
Is that the whole point of an IPA?
No.
APA, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Come on then.
I'm pouring
it. The 440ml glass.
Yeah. Ooh, and it is a 4.9%. Okay. 4.9.
Right in the meaty part of the curve.
Let's have a... Ooh, smells good. Smells citrusy.
Okay. That's always a bonus.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Yeah.
I drink a lot. I drink a barrel of this stuff, folks.
Well, Terry. Seeing you, and now first of all, look at the can there. Sorry, people, I'm giving away a lot of visual things here, and it's an audio podcast. But look at that. Look at the craftsmanship on that.
And what about this? Huh?
It's trash.
It's a guy sitting in a deck chair with his belly hanging out.
You can feel the...
Yeah, this is raised edges as well.
All right, anyway, I'm drinking a Vit Hit Sparkling Mango Pineapple with Rooibos Tea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the tea ruined it. Mango pineapple.
Honest, I only saw mango pineapple up until 5 seconds ago when I was calling it out. So, hang on. Ooh, now. That is... So horrible. Oh my god. How can you mess up mango and pineapple? The most flavoursome.
Put some fucking rooibos shit in it, whatever, like, that is.
That is why I may be getting up mid podcast to change my drink.
Take a shit. Yeah. You know what you want to get your hands on?
Yeah.
You want to get your hands on some White Claw.
What is that?
It's like alcoholic water, flavored water. Like, so it's like carbonated water that is
You love sparkling water.
I don't. I actually didn't like it, to be honest. It was a lampoon. I wanted to get you to try a White Claw and then be enraged.
Absolutely not. Alcoholic, first of all, and it tastes like sparkling water. Like,
no, but it's flavored, so it's like raspberry, cherry, like citrus and lime or whatever.
This generation's
alcoholic.
Blue Wicked is what it sounds like, Terry.
Yeah, no sugar though. You know,
okay.
Blue Wicked. Man, I remember drinking. We used to go to Barcode Friday after school.
After school,
yeah. So you get down there. We finish school at 3:30. Get down there for 4:30. And if you had a Westwood keyring, if you could get your hands on a Westwood keyring,
yeah,
that would they would let you in because it was a members bar at the time.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So we would just do that. Like I'd go down, like you know, in slacks and shoes and a shirt, like for, look like your after work crowd, like, and I'd bring 20 quid at me because it was €2 a drink.
Oh my god!
Until 7 o'clock, but you'd buy 10. Blue wickets or 10 Smirnoff ices, like,
to keep you going all through the night.
Oh yeah, keep you going. And like I might have a fiver left if we went up to Granger's for last orders. I'd have a fiver for a pint.
That is LIVIN right there.
Oh, but I remember the next day, after doing it for a few weeks, the next day getting up and my mom had like a bacon sandwich left in the oven for me, so it should have been lovely and soft, and yeah, I couldn't bite into it. My teeth were so fucked from all the sugar that I drank the night before. Yeah.
And it's nothing better than a bacon sandwich.
I know, I couldn't enjoy it. Oh,
shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so what have you been up to before I took us on that little detour?
I tell you what, I was watching a movie. I'm watching a couple of movies, actually.
Well, I got 5 for you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I've been on a tear since last Thursday, God. Let me tell you.
Right, first of all, I watched Midnight Run.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Bloody loved it.
Did you like it?
Bloody loved it. It was great.
It's fucking great.
It was a bit long. No, it was a bit long. And 80s 2 hours is like a modern day 3.5 hours. You know what I mean?
Strongly disagree with that, but go on.
I'm going to keep this rolling. Yeah, it was really good. I thought your man, what's his name?
Charles Grodin.
He's very good. What was that
balance
movie he was in? Not Beethoven. Was it My Summer Vacation or Summer Vacation? Something like that.
Mm.
You know the one with the kids spinning tops? It's like in the 50s and all.
I don't know it.
One of those. But he was very funny in that anyway. But yeah, Midnight Run, liked it. It was right up my alley. Now, I also watched the new Jurassic Park, whatever.
Which
it is.
Which one?
The 2018 Jurassic World, whatever, Fallen Kingdom or whatever the hell it's called.
Okay. Well, what did you make of it?
You know what? I haven't watched a Jurassic Park movie that I haven't enjoyed.
Wow, did you see the first one, the Jurassic World?
And yeah, I kind of like that too. And I know watching it that like there's loads of eye roll moments with the dialogue and stuff like
there
that.
There is.
And all that. But for whatever reason, I'm just along for the ride with Jurassic Park.
I like The Fallen Kingdom more than I did Jurassic World.
Right.
I liked the whole second half of, you know, they're in a haunted house kind of part of it. You know, it was something different at least. Like, you know, it was kind of turned into like a horror. Like, you know, the dinosaurs trying to open the handle.
There was a lot of that. Like, there was a scene of a tear rolling down the dinosaur's eye. There was another one where like he's pretending to be asleep, but his tail has gone in the background, and then he just smiles and then attacks him. Like, what is up with these dinosaurs?
What was the name of the dinosaur this
Blue
time around?
The Indominus Rex. It was like the Indoraptor or something like that.
Yeah, it was Indoraptor and T-Rex combined.
Yeah.
But the worst thing is, it's like Jeff Goldblum is no longer playing Ian Malcolm. He's just playing Jeff Goldblum. Yeah.
But I was somewhat, if you'll forgive the constant use of the expression, honey-dicked into watching it. Because the
like 8 minutes.
The thumbnail is just a picture of Jeff Goldblum on Netflix. Yeah. And he's in it for the first 2 minutes and the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's
ridiculous.
It.
Yeah.
I can't believe they did that.
They're all coming back for the third or the new one.
It seemed like they were setting up some sort of franchise, all right. I guess this is just the beginning.
The first one, Jurassic, I keep saying the first one, but like Jurassic World made like, I think it was the biggest movie of that summer that came out. Like, it made more than any of the Marvel movies. They were like, whoa, here we go. Like, we're back.
Oh, nice. I'm kind of glad it is now, but I have to say that the dinosaurs looked better in Jurassic Park 1 than they look in this. It's like,
I think,
how come, I have a question, Terry. How come some movies get the special effects looking so good and others don't? You know what I mean? Is it just a case of money? They do money. It better? Right.
They spend the money to make it better. Well, the best way I could say it to you is, remember everything used to be practical effects?
Like
in the 80s and stuff, if it was like, you know, it's an explosion, it's an actual explosion, or, you know, whatever. And James Cameron kind of pioneered the whole special effect, the new wave of special effects with like T2, you know, the liquid metal stuff.
Yeah.
And it cost a shitload of money. But then people, these production houses, learned how to like readily do it on the cheap. Yeah. So you can have, like, they never used to be common, you know, never used to be like, oh, I can do this cheap. Whereas now you can do it cheap and it looks shitty. But a lot of them do, like, if you put the money into it, it'll look great. It's just,
like, why didn't Jurassic World put the money in?
They did, but it's just like,
oh, look, like, there was shot. I mean, there were some scenes where it's just like, he's definitely just running. And like, you just tell by the way the things are falling and all this. Yeah. Like, come on.
There's certain like top tier ones that like, you're like, okay, like it seemed like, we haven't come to any of them yet, like, but like this de-aging technology thing, like in the Marvel movies, like
do they do it in the later Marvel ones?
In ones coming up, and like, you're like, how do they make Robert Downey Jr. look like 25 again? Or like Samuel L. Jackson looks like he did in The Negotiator for the whole of a movie. Now, he might move like he's 70, but like he looks
Irishman
like
style.
But he looks like he's, you know, 1997 Sam Jackson. Like, you know, that kind of. So,
I mean, I have to say I enjoyed it now, but it was, I don't know. The special effects kind of took me out of it, but it still went away happy. Like, it's a real, as we say, popcorn movie.
I went to see it in the cinema and it was okay, you know. Yeah. That's what I'd say, you know.
It's probably fair.
No, I wasn't raving about it.
What have you been up to or / watching?
I tell you what, I...
Come on.
Faye was out last Thursday. She went to visit a friend, do like a nice little back garden social visit.
Nice.
So I had the place to myself, baby was asleep. And the other way I was saying, I've been buying up Blu-rays.
Yes.
Well, there was a chance to put one on. A bit of me time. And there's one I was bought. I don't know how you feel about Señor Spielberg himself.
Yeah, love him.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, sure, he did Jurassic Park, did he? But this film called Bridge of Spies, have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. Haven't seen it.
I don't know why people aren't talking about this film more. It's fucking deadly. It's Tom Hanks is being, you know, America's dad in it. Like,
brilliant.
It's set in this, I think it's set in like the early 60s. And it's about a guy who, Tom Hanks is like an insurance lawyer. And they catch the government catch a Russian spy. But they kind of set up a trial where it's like, look, we need to give him a decent defense. We seem to be giving him a decent defense, so you're his lawyer.
Yeah.
But then, like, Tom Hanks gets real into it, and he's like, you know, trying basically to win the case, and like, he's like coming up with all these appeals for the judge, and he's like, what are you talking about? This guy's a spy. Like, no, dismissed or whatever. Like, none of these objections or whatever. So it's kind of like him being really good at his job, him loving the law, and then the whole second half of the film, they go into a thing where there's an American spy captured and they're trying to do a trade, and Tom Hanks is sent to Germany, East Berlin, to negotiate it.
Oh yeah.
But man, if I was fucking gripped, I loved it. Like, I thought it was so good. Kind of like there's bits in it where you're like, it's, you know, it's just a really entertaining film and a really interesting film.
All right.
All right, you accept?
Yes, all right.
Good, okay. Let's start here. If you are firm in your resolve not to cooperate with the U.S. government...
I am.
Yeah. Then do not talk to anybody else about your case, inside of government or out. Except to me, to the extent that you trust me. I have a mandate to serve you. Nobody else does. Quite frankly, everybody else has an interest in sending you to the electric chair.
All right.
You don't seem alarmed.
But would it help?
Who else is in it?
Oof. Mark Rylance. He played the BFG.
If that's the second best person in the movie.
Well, he's the second lead. He won an Oscar for being in it, so, you know.
Okay, well, yeah. Whatever. But
it's fucking deadly. Like, okay. I don't know, it's not on Netflix or anything like that, but, man, I thought it was fucking good. Okay. But, stuff that was on Netflix that
yeah.
I watched.
Yes, yes.
I watched Inside Man, and I watched Blindspotting, are two that are on Netflix.
Blindspotting.
Blindspotting is a movie that came out in 2018, and it's how do I describe it? It's kind of a comedy. It's down as a comedy right. on Netflix, but that's always a bit misleading, I think.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy who is like a black guy in Oakland who has been on parole for a year. So he's been keeping himself sort of clean.
Yeah.
So he has 3 days left on parole, and it's kind of just over those 3 days, like what happens, that he basically witnesses a police shooting. And he's a black guy, sorry, I meant right. to say.
Okay.
And he basically then, it's like, that kind of impacts the next 3 days, should he come forward or whatever like that. Like, and it's very sort of prescient in like what's going on in America yes. at the moment. It was 95 minutes.
Well, now you should have started with 95 yeah, minutes, Terry. Yeah.
But I thought it was very, very... it was very interesting, very well done. You kind of like definitely felt for the main character, like straight away I was in, you yeah. know, and then it kind of builds up to this kind of big, huge crescendo at the end. You're really like, shit, what's going to happen? It's kind of like, I kind of felt like the same way when I was watching Whiplash, you know, I was hooked in.
It's just the tension, like.
Yeah, exactly. They really like, they drag you and you're like, oh yeah, shit. Like, yeah. At one point, like we were watching it, and Faye was like, I don't want to watch the last 10 minutes because she knew something was going to happen. So she kind of got up and left. But like she knew that like they're building to something here.
You just come back to bed. Like, so what happened? They were fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But, and it's funny because watching Inside Man, which is a Spike Lee movie.
Spike Lee joint.
Yes, there you go. I didn't want to say that. You didn't know if you'd understand what a joint
you
was.
You see? There you go.
Who am I talking to? Of course. who am I talking to? You know what a joint is.
You got it.
But this is like a bank heist movie from 2006, starring Denzel and starring Clive Owen. They're your two leads.
Oh, right.
Jodie
Foster.
Where's
he been?
Clive Owen?
Yeah. Clive Warren.
He's been doing Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh yeah! Oh, he's been great.
what was his thing? In Curb, his play.
I can't remember.
Like Tiki, gone Tiki.
Oh my god! Oh, this is unbelievable! This Metzler's the best.
You see that is genuine praise. I do a fucking play for 90 minutes, digging deep and doing everything I can, and you give that for a sandwich. So you do praise, wow. Just not for me.
Yeah. That kind of thing, that's not for people. That's for sandwiches, a well-struck iron, good golf shot.
Do you know what it takes? Stand up there for 90 minutes on your own, one-man play.
Hmm.
Serious subject like that. Do you know what it costs?
It must be quite grueling. One wonders why somebody would do it.
Is he for real?
No, I'm just saying, it seems a little crazy.
But, it's really like that one. It's kind of a heist thriller type thing, mm-hmm. but there's bits in it where, like, say, there's a guy that is a hostage released from the bank, and the police are like straight on him, like on the ground, like the New York police,
yeah.
And they're like, and his arms are tied behind his back, but they don't care. They're like, and they like knock his he's a Sikh. They like knock his turban off, and you know. Oh, my man, Willem Dafoe is in it as well. But it was... Yeah, but I was glad to see him back. Even like, and there's even a point where he's like, one of them called me a towel head. And like, Willem Dafoe was like, no. Like, you didn't hear that. Nobody heard that. And I'm like, this is just like what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is like 14 years ago. But it's like, it's same as it ever was. Like, the stuff you're seeing on social media where it's like, oh, that guy, like that old man...
See what Trump said about it.
Yeah,
he's faking it basically. I mean, like, that's probably, you know what I thought of speaking of Jurassic Park when I seen that tweet. literally in like in my head I had the thought of, well, there it is. Because it was just like, well, that's the worst one yet. Yeah. And that's saying something.
Oh, he's had so many bad ones.
Jeez, like, I can't believe this is the I don't know if it's just the fact that like we've been home for so long, but like just outside just feels so different now. You know what I mean? Like at first it was like oh, a bit of crack or whatever. You're like, oh, everyone's home, whatever. You know, obviously, you know, for like not all the time, but
no, but like,
you know what I mean. Like, and then it would get to the stage where it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
It's weird. Like I've been back in the office this week. I was back in on Monday, and I was back in today. So it's going to be like 3 days in the office, 2 days at home, 2 days in the office, 3 days at home. Like, nice. Because we can't have a full office just for per square meter or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but like it was I thought it'd be really bad. I had my mask, my, you know, gloves and all for when I was getting the transport over. And it was actually dead quiet, like, so it's really kind of just nice.
Good.
And apparently what they're doing is they're not opening, like, businesses till 10:30. So that...
I've seen that,
like, you know, workers can go to, you know, have public transportation for themselves, which is great. Like, puts my mind a little bit at ease, like.
Yeah, definitely. But it's definitely quieter, but yeah, you can see there's a lot of people coming back. We're back as well.
Are you fully staffed back?
Literally today was the first day that I think the majority of the staff were back anyway. I was kind of back in and out for a few days, but it's back just to normal 5 days now. But it's almost like I was watching, because actually another movie I was watching The First Purge on Netflix.
That's the only one I haven't seen. No?
Oh boy.
No.
It was so bad. And we're big Purge fans in this house.
Have you seen the Purge TV show?
I have not.
Yeah, they do a series of it. Like it's on Amazon, mate.
Okay, well no.
Yeah.
But the first one was the first Purge. It just you know what you're getting with the Purge, and it didn't deliver that. You know what I mean? Mm. It was a subpar product. But as you're watching it was very much like, this is like, I would not be surprised to read on Twitter or something that they're enforcing some sort of, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't even seem that far off anymore.
The marketing for the poster was like the red cap, and it's had like the first Purge.
I knew there was something, because there was a scene where one of there's a girl and she's walking down the street, whatever, and someone comes up through a drain and tries to like pull her down, and like there's a definitive scene where he grabs her like by the groin area, and
she's like, "What the fuck?"
or whatever, and as she's running away, she's like, "Pussy grabbing motherfucker," and all this or something. Like, well, that's obviously a reference to, you know,
a few little things thrown in there.
But
I did like, I think my favorite one was Purge Anarchy, which was the second one. I think that was the best one.
It's kind of like, just there's certain bad movies that I can just vibe with, as they say. I don't know. I don't know the terms.
The last thing I've been watching.
Go on.
And it's on Netflix as well. And I put it on Monday night, myself and Faye, because you know, I'm always picking the movies pretty much. But I know, like, and Faye has seen this movie loads of times. I haven't seen it in a long time. I put on When Harry Met Sally.
Oh boy! Oh, well,
he's gone. That's
embarrassing.
Well, here I am just staring at his dumb old picture on Viber.
Viber decided to update.
Reconnecting.
Mid
constantly
chat.
Constantly reconnecting.
If you can believe that.
I know, he disconnected.
I'll just call him back.
Explain yourself.
It's my Viber just started updating. Like,
well, anyway.
I couldn't listen to another movie review.
I put on When Harry Met Sally. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Man, have you seen it lately?
No. I haven't seen it when I was a kid.
Good? Fucking amazing.
Set in New York, as I recall?
Set in New York for the majority of it. Nice. It starts off in Chicago and they take a road trip to New York. But it just is so, like, watertight. Like, everything works in it perfectly. Like, and I forgot how, like, lovely Meg Ryan was.
Yeah, what's like, the story? She's just gone a bit mad. Hasn't been the same since that Parkinson interview, really, has she?
Seems to choose you a little bit, and I feel like that's what happened.
Jude, I mean, what kind of journalist would you have made, do you think?
I wasn't interested in doing anything really, you know, hardcore, but I was interested in doing things like, you know, maybe write for a magazine or cooking. Some article on food.
Now that you're wary of journalists, I mean, does it give you an insight into what they're after?
Now that I'm wary of them.
Yes, you are wary of journalists. You're wary of me. You're wary of the interview. You don't like being interviewed. You can see it's in the way that you sit and the way you are. That's you don't like doing it. so therefore, well, I mean, it's a perfectly easy question, a decent question to ask you about being a journalist. I mean, in other words, if you were me, what would you do now?
Well, just wrap it up.
No, this sort of stuff was just super, like, awkward.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She was great in this, and I don't think she... she's had a number of facelifts or something.
Has she?
Yeah. Yeah. You've seen it.
Boy, has
and
she.
And it's just a shame.
It's a shame when everyone does that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I never think they look better.
No. And, like, looking at her in this, I was like, oh, man. Like, she was, like... You wouldn't even
a real
say,
natural beauty, like.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't even say, like, oh, she's all right. Yeah. Like, you just, like, look at her there. Like, she's, like...
Lovely.
Yeah, lovely. Exactly that. But she's so good in it as well. And Billy Crystal.
Amanda mentioned you had a dark side.
That's what drew to me.
Your dark side.
Sure. Why don't you have a dark side? No, you're probably one of those cheerful people who dots their eyes with little hearts.
I have just as much of a dark side as the next person.
Oh, really? When I buy a new book, I always read the last page first. That way, in case I die before I finish, I know how it ends. That, my friend, is a dark side.
That doesn't mean you're deep or anything. I mean, yes, basically, I'm a happy person.
So am I.
And I don't see that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not. You're too busy being happy. You ever think about death?
Yes.
Sure you do. A fleeting thought that drifts in and out of the transom of your mind. I spend hours. I spend days.
And you think this makes you a better person?
When the shit comes down, I'm going to be prepared, and you're not. That's all I'm saying.
In the meantime, you're going to ruin your whole life waiting for it.
That was 80s, wasn't it?
It was 89. Billy Crystal, who I don't know if I, like, I'm a huge fan of all the time, but...
Surprised to hear that now.
He's really, really good in this. Well, I watched...
What's
the
your
thing
problem with Billy?
Maybe it's because I've been watching him in the last few years. I watched him in a thing. It was like called. It was a one man show he did called 700 Sundays, and I was like, "Oh, Billy, no!" But like, and the crowd are like lapping it up. But it's basically just him doing, like, you know, impressions of his Jewish family for an hour and a half. And my uncle Bell. Well, he was around.
God.
You're like, oh, you're like, and he's in like his late 60s when he's doing it, and I was like, I wanted to like this, so that's a shame. But like, he's so perfect in that movie, and like Carrie Fisher is in it. Well, she's fucking amazing in it. Like,
it was a real golden era for that sort of.
It was a weird thing. Apparently, that like. So Nora Ephron, who went on to like direct Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail, all these rom-coms, she's like the rom-com queen. She wrote it. Rob Reiner directed it.
Brilliant.
But apparently he wrote the male dialogue, or, you know, the male brain side of it. She wrote the female. She wrote like for a female, and then they were kind of really collaborative. Like Billy Crystal kind of threw in
that's good. Stuff. Because you can definitely always tell when the script was written by a man or a woman. Or,
when
you know what I
when
mean?
It's a man writing a woman,
you
it's
can
really
tell,
bad.
Yeah, like, when you see women's dialogue written by a man, a lot of the time it's like, well, it's clear a man wrote Can I actually tell you before we get into it, I finally finished WrestleMania 17. Well,
I'm gonna do things my way.
First
my
of
way.
All, my that way. Song is such a banger.
Yeah,
I was loving it all the way through. And they played that like vignette or whatever so often.
Free again. Yeah. This time I'ma let it
The Rock and Austin. Even though like they didn't they didn't really have a massive feud, really, but they just put it together and made it look
It's over the years.
It's the tension.
Like over the years, like Rock and Austin, like when as soon as The Rock turned heel, like his first big feud was with Austin over the IC title that like in 97, nobody really remembers it. And then like they had the feud when it was the corporation and Austin against it, and then it kind of went away for when Austin got injured. It kind of went away, and it really only did, it was like a month of it at WrestleMania 17, but it had all this baggage from years gone past in it, which made it fucking great.
And like, even the build up to it was a lot, like it wasn't a big, there was a few stunners and rock bottoms and stuff, but a lot of it was just like they bump into each other like that sort of stuff.
But and the fact that they were the two absolute biggest stars in the company, in the world.
It was a good sit down interview they had with JR and all that.
Great.
But so I mean that match was great, and then obviously I have Austin's heel turn. I didn't remember it, and I knew there was a heel turn. I actually thought it was before WrestleMania, and I thought, oh, that's why Rock and Austin are feuding, because he must have turned heel and stuff like that. I didn't realize they were both faces.
But they laid a foundation of it there, so it works. Like even in the like the interview is like, I have to beat you, Rock.
Yeah.
You know,
I absolutely have to be. And plus, I love the emphasis they put on the world title, and what a world title that is. The best one. The circular one with the blue globe.
The winged eagle.
The one after. No. You know, circular, but it has like that bit of blue in the middle. It's like the globe. Oh, it's gorgeous. But like, then, like, Austin apparently, I was into Tony's podcast on WrestleMania, and he was like saying that Austin really kind of regretted the heel turn, and he actually thought around that time that he was sort of fading a bit, or the fans were fading, is that it?
He pushed for the heel turn because he wanted to do something different. And it was kind of the whole thing was that we owe it to Steve. He's to give like him what the biggest wants. Star to do it. And then it kind of, didn't, like, that like kind of took the shine off his star a little bit because he never got back to being as big a guy.
Even two like weeks later, he was gone
a year later.
Yeah, with the whole like taking his ball and going home. But when I was even watching it with Kerry yesterday, I was like, you can tell even now, like 2 weeks after Mania, we're watching it, it's like his heat is like pretty much all gone. He's like Triple H and Vince.
Two-man power trip.
But then there was a great bit that I was laughing at where like Austin's beating up JR and Vince comes out. He's like,
what do you think you're doing, Austin? That's your best friend out there. And you're taking it easy on your very best friend. Damn it, Steve. Come on. Open him up.
It was just so like, this is peak Vince. This period, Vince is just completely balls to the wall at this stage.
Are you gonna keep watching throughout the summer?
I think I kind of am. Like, I was kind of jump around, but I'm kind of still invested. You know,
if I think it's King of the Ring is what you want to watch,
right?
For that kicks off the invasion.
Brilliant. Yeah, I was wondering when that is. Yeah,
and then that's so King of the Ring. The night of King of the Ring is when that starts.
Right.
And then there is Austin as a heel throughout the course of that angle. I think it's actually really underrated as like him being this weird, jealous, kind of like psychopath, for lack of, but it's like, it's the jealousy is like, who does Vince like better?
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, like, because he's like, he's Vince's guy now, but then like Kurt Angle is there.
So Kurt Angle as well has been on fire as well lately.
There's a lot of like Austin, Vince, Kurt stuff coming up.
Right, brilliant.
It's fucking, it's great. Like, yeah, but like
there's loads of times where I'll turn to Kerry and be like, this is just good TV. Like, and it's not so much like in your face. Like it kind of was. I mean, although I have to say that TLC match at Mania
was unbelievable.
I mean, that may be one of my favorite matches of all time. Just for the spectacle, like
with the spear off the ladder.
The spear, the swanton on the big ladder on the outside.
No, but Jeff Hardy was like hanging off the belt. That's fucking hell. Like,
and it's just like, I mean, it's just non-stop. Like, there's just big spots. They do another
one next year. next WrestleMania, there's TLC 2.
TLC 3? No, that was 2.
Was it 2?
Yeah.
Oh, then it...
So they obviously did it the WrestleMania previous then.
Was it 2 or was it...
This was definitely called WrestleMania 2 or TLC 2. They kept saying TLC
2. Oh, well, hold on then. Was TLC... Was at that WrestleMania, was there like Rhino and Spike Dudley?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
And Heyman, Jesus, every time Rhino's in. Rhino had the biggest impact in the tag team title. He was trying to big up Rhino so much, like, the whole time.
But he's good at it, like, you know.
Good. They are both good. I'm loving them a lot more.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, very last. Watched a great music documentary, Terry.
Oh.
Clapton. Life in 12 Bars or something like that. It was absolutely brilliant. It was like, 2 hours long. It was on BBC Two. Just charting his sort of life, I guess. But just
did
mad
talk
stuff.
About, like, Cream and stuff?
Like Cream and plus they had the official songs. I hate watching those documentaries where it's like they play similar sounding music and they have no one good talking. Like, this had everyone. And I had the whole thing with him and Patty, which was George's wife, and they were best mates, and he fell in love with Patty and, you know, was trying to get with Patty while George was his best mate and didn't get her and just retreated for like 3 years. Like, nobody saw him. He was just doing heroin in his gaff and all this sort of stuff. And then he was like an alcoholic for another 20 years after that. And then the whole stuff with his kid, I was like, fucking hell, he's had a hard life. Like,
Jesus.
Well, I mean, some of it's self-inflicted, but you know what I mean? He hasn't had it easy. But
I'll always think of, like, I guess was it by Derek and the Dominoes? Was that
that was Layla? Yeah,
that was Layla. But that bit in Goodfellas, the pink Cadillac, like dun 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 dun, 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 and so like all good. The dance and like.
I never realised Dwayne Allman from the Allman Brothers was part of Derek and the Dominoes, or for a part of it. Definitely that song.
Right,
anyway.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they're a very underrated band.
They are very underrated. Dwayne Allman, especially, and apparently they were the two of them just got on like a house on fire and they just sort of went with it. But then he got into the old heroin, so that
the
was the end of that.
Opiates, huh?
Listen, Terry. Will you listen to me for the love of God until I talk to you about Simpsons, please?
Yeah.
Specifically, sure. Do you mind if I talk to you about the 21st episode of The Simpsons? Simpsons' 6th season.
I guess.
Aired on April 26, 1995. Written by Jennifer Crittenden and directed by, get this for a name, Swinton O. Scott III.
Didn't that name come up before and we were like, that's
gotta
be phony.
I think this was his first one.
Was it?
I could be wrong. But there's been a few phony names. There was earlier in the season, if you remember, the clip show was credited to Pennywise because the writer didn't want to credit for a clip show. And David Merkin was the showrunner, of course. The episode includes cultural references to a number of books highlighted by Krabappel that were banned by other schools, including William Shatner's Tech War, Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman, and including the theory of evolution by Charles Darwin. And
well, now I'm going to stop you there, Andy. Okay. He did And Maggie Makes Three as well.
Oh, did he?
Swinton. So there you go.
Well, Scott.
Sorry, I've completely grounded to a halt there.
Just wanted to prove that he did, in fact.
I'm sorry.
The episode, it was pitched by Crittenden, who had the idea that there should be a teacher strike in the episode, and Merkin thought the episode had a lot of potential and based a lot of it on his experience as a child of his school running out of money. And it kind of got me thinking about, like, was it just once our school striked, or was there a few of them?
So we they went on strike once. That was the whole, whatchamajigger, the union, the whole teachers union. So like every school, I think, went on strike if you're in the union. And then the students went on strike, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
got suspended for doing it. The students went on strike.
Yeah, what was that all about?
They went on strike on the Friday, and then it was like, oh, we're doing it again on the Monday. And yeah. It was like, okay, if you want to go on strike, just make sure you have your parents' permission. So me and Brian went on strike on the, like, it's just an excuse to ditch to off or whatever.
School, yeah.
So we went after lunch. They just didn't come back in after lunch. And so then I was like, and somebody gave us a tip, just unplug your phone in the house and like plug it back in, like it'll just keep ringing, but like nobody will be able to like hear it.
Oh, I think I'm keep going anyway. Yeah.
And then I plugged it back in at like whatever 6 or 6:30 that evening, and then it started ringing. Like literally the second I plugged it back in, and I was like Homer, like hello. He's like, could I speak to Mrs. Toner, please? I was like, put her on, and then she's like,
oh, he did.
Yeah, did he?
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, and then it was I was suspended for 2 days. Of course, Arnold didn't get suspended.
Because, well, they weren't going to lose the lead in the school production, were they?
He didn't get suspended because somebody covered for him when they took attendance in the second half of the class. Somebody wrote his name down for him. I had a bunch of fucking crumb bums in my class. Whoever was taking attendance that day, I hope you're happy, you fucking prick.
A mark on your permanent record.
Yeah. Well, I told my mom and I was like, well, look, they said we could go on strike. And then she was like, okay, yeah, whatever. She was actually quite understanding about it. And then it turned out that it was like people that had gotten written permission still got suspended.
Well, then why would they say, yeah, you can do it?
Yeah, it's fucking Dahi O'Brien right there. Prick. Yeah.
Zenya, I can't breathe. very inside joke there about Dahi O'Brien looking like the guy at the start of Goldeneye.
From Goldeneye. That gets crushed to death by Famke Janssen's ties.
I remember when I was a kid trying to buy a Playboy in do you remember? Hello. What was that shop that was beside the Goose? It wasn't Dolan's, it was something else, but there was a shop there, it was an old man in there.
Yeah.
And I waited until actually tried to get my brother Tony, who was 2 years younger than me, to go in and do it. That's how badly I wanted this Playboy. And and he's like, no, I'm not doing it. So I went in, I was like, and just that that magazine up there. And he's like, what? And like, just that one there. And he went in the back. I'm just standing there, like, bright red. And like, the younger fella comes out. He's like, what is it? He's like, I'm just get that magazine there. My dad sent me to get it for me. He's like, well, I'll need a note from your parents to give you that. I was like, okay, thanks, boy. Andy. Like, oh. 20 years I haven't thought about that.
Yeah. You should have taken the bus into town and just went to Eason's. There were no questions asked.
I suppose, yeah. They're not going to question you in town. Yeah, it's the least of their problems as a kid buying a magazine. Anyway, back to this one. The fact that Disney, Terry, purchased the site at the start of the episode is a reference to the abandoned Disney's America project that was widely criticised as an attempt to turn heritage sites into vanity amusement parks. Now, I didn't know anything about this. Had you heard about this at all?
No, I just thought it was like just a shot at them, like Disney, you know,
just in general.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But
and then they're owned by them, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All come full circle.
The ratings, it finished. It got a Nielsen rating of 7.1 and was the 8th. Yeah,
kind of low.
Yeah, 8th highest rated show on Fox that week.
8th.
So the ratings have dipped a bit. Now I know they.
Sheen.
They pick up a bit towards the end with the big finale, obviously, of the season. But, 7.1, possibly the lowest yet. But apart from that, Terry, I've got nothing.
Well, let's get into it there, Bucko. What did you think?
You know what? It was a funny one.
It's a very episode, isn't it?
I thought the first, if I can summarize it, the first 10 minutes I didn't like. And the last 10 minutes, I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't funny at all until the scene where Marge is like, there's something so unwholesome about a boy flying a kite at night.
He needs boundaries and structure. There's something about flying a kite at night that's so unwholesome.
Hello, mother dear.
Oh, that's it. We have to get them back to school.
I don't know if I totally agree with that. Like,
that's what
like,
I found
it. It took me, yeah, the first, I was like, oh, I love this setup here.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's not as funny as I thought it was. I was I remember. Like,
I was kind of thinking, oh shit, this isn't going to be good.
Yeah, and I think a few minutes before that,
yeah,
it really starts to pick up steam when you're talking about there, but a few minutes before that, I was like, okay, alright, here we go.
Settling in now, okay.
Even the bit where it's like, with Skinner.
Our demands are very reasonable. By ignoring them, you're selling out these children's futures.
Oh, come on, Edna. We both know these children have no future. Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong, kids.
Straight
Prove
away.
Prove me wrong.
But yeah, it was a weird one. And it was kind of like, there wasn't a huge amount of like heart in the episode. So
no.
It was a comedy. It was sort of dependent on the laughs almost. And the first half I didn't get any, but the second half almost more than made up for it, because I laughed hard like a few times
there,
the second half of that.
My favourite joke in the whole episode was Anita Beth. And then he's like, what are you laughing at? Like, oh, I get it. It's my big ears, isn't it? Well, children, I can't help. Just the way like he breaks down.
His
like,
ears are tiny as well.
Yeah, I know. Like,
and it's a little smack as well that he's like, it's my big ears, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
It's brilliant. Although, yeah. we'll get into it, all right. But I did like the whole kid's reaction, the opposite reactions to the school being closed down. Mm. You know, Bart loved
that. Was
it,
a good through line
yeah.
in it. And like, I guess like, it's kind of satire, or it's that's what they're kind of going for.
Yeah.
Like with it, like, I don't think it says too much. That's the thing about this episode. Like, it doesn't. It kind of says, oh, you know, it imagines where this, you know, schools are cheap is essentially that their thing,
that's
and the
it,
you know, that's the crux of it. Schools are cheap, and the teachers are fed up.
Yeah.
And like. Like you say, they
were going to resolve it.
The stuff that they, the goal that they mind is actually the stuff around that. Like,
yeah.
Like I love Bart in this episode for some reason.
Yeah.
Like Homer doesn't have a lot to do.
Homer,
but,
I only realized when he spoke up after a while. I was like, geez, Homer's barely been in this. Like,
yeah. Like when he's in bed, I'm like, you know. They're sitting there, like you say, when Marge is talking about, like, it's so unsettling. And that's one of my favorite Homer jokes ever. I don't know why. It's like, this perpetual motion machine just
yeah.
getting faster and faster. like Lisa, like,
yeah.
in this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
I think it might just be because, I mean, I don't know if I'm wrong, but it seemed like Homer wasn't really in it at the start.
He wasn't.
And maybe it was like, just when Homer got into it, then it started to be. Like, it wasn't even him necessarily, but it was just when he came in more.
Yeah, it just coincided with that.
It was a bit of an odd one, all right.
Yeah, and, like, I guess, like, if we talk about what... Like, I liked parts at the start, like, even though it was the least effective thing for me. Like, I liked the idea of them going to the old-timey thing. Like, I liked the idea of the bus really being a piece of shit falling apart. But, like... It wasn't particularly funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I liked the aesthetics of it. I did like the bit where it was, you know, Fort Springfield.
Yeah.
And they show the other team or the other army are like surrendering.
Yeah.
Like, they're no match for our bayonets. And did you notice how they lingered on the shots of people getting killed more?
I did actually, yeah.
It wasn't. I don't. It's like another
pull
kind
any
of censorship
punches in it.
Thing. No,
I did like the whole thing of Shelbyville having like such a like a super high tech bus, and Principal Valiant coming out.
But we don't have that kind of money. In fact, no school could afford to.
Here's the admission plus some for you. See that they get a little extra education, would you?
Yes, sir, Principal Valiant.
He thinks he's so hot ever since he swept the Princey Awards.
I was so hoping it was going to be Principal Kotick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, him and that little boy.
Little boy.
They missed the trick, I think.
Yeah. I've started like a bit of a rivalry there.
Yeah, like, we'll just continue it, you know? Yeah. It was only 4 episodes ago or something.
But what I think one of my favorite bits of the whole segment. Yes?
Something just clicked at me there. So you know the way Uder gets left behind.
That's what I was gonna say. Uder just gets killed essentially. But
I remember in a future episode, like Skinner having to explain to Uder's parents where Uder is. It's just like in a few series time that it's like Skinner, like the parents, like, I don't know where Uder is or something like that. Like it's in, I don't know what season, but I'm trying to think, is this his last appearance?
That'd be interesting to note. Although, no, yeah, because even poor Uder just gets a horrible time.
Yeah,
you might even say we ate Uder and he's in our stomachs right now.
I like when they get back to the school, there is good jokes. The the lunch lady Doris, there's very little meat in these
Plus, well, like, she's not talking to anyone, she's just in there by herself. There's very little meat in these gym mats,
that's what it was. And I love when they do go on strike, the little girl who's left hanging.
Oh yeah,
Mrs. Pommelhorse, I know. I'd like to get down now. Just whatever way,
the way she says it, it's like, I'd like to get down now.
It just kind of trails off at the end, which is what makes it like.
I did like the, so like, what were the cuts the school made? So there was the books, obviously.
Yeah, the books, the pointer.
Yeah, it points, doesn't it?
It's not it.
Changing milk to mulk.
Yeah, with vitamin ore. I like that.
And then I did like the band. With teacher gone, we can play the forbidden music. And there's the policy of him only having one line in an episode.
Yeah. Surely he has more lines in the Lemon episode.
I think, later on he does. I think they said they just prefer the episodes where he's only got one line for some bizarre reason.
So a kind of...
Very unprofessional, Phil.
Don't make me run. I'm full of chocolate. Now, hold on. I'm just checking here.
Yes. Send in a text?
No. Okay. So this why I'm looking at his bio. I'm looking at Uder's bio,
folks,
here.
If you're wondering why Terry was quiet the last minute, it's because he's been researching this.
I'm looking at Uder's bio, and literally it says here.
No way.
They were forced to abandon the student when the Civil War reenactment.
No way.
Fort Springfield were in hot pursuit, and then the next thing is like his parents demanded Skinner to inform them of their missing son's whereabouts.
So he did die.
Well. I don't know, like it says he's appeared later on in the school air vents, but essentially it seems like
fair enough.
Yeah, like,
okay, so that's Uder dead in this episode, yeah, essentially.
Well, yeah, it seems that way.
Poor Uder.
Yeah.
Oh, now, speaking of unprofessional, my phone was buzzing.
That's from the Simpsons Wiki. So if it is wrong, if we come across him in our adventures,
yeah, don't blame
getting
us.
A strongly worded email.
So I like the fact that they come home, Bart and Lisa, and it's just
great news.
Lisa's strike preparedness kit.
Yeah,
is just,
is that gum? Is that gum?
Like, it's not even good, but it's still good enough for her. Like,
what I like about, well, before they come home. Marriage is vacuuming the cat and the dog who are asleep on the couch. I like that little bit. Like,
yeah.
And I love the idea of like what Bart is kind of getting up to.
He immediately goes for his crowbar. Bart has to stop him. I don't like you, Jimmy.
He's on the building site, like, fucking shit up.
Yeah.
And that was a good gag. I don't know why. I just like the look of that foreman.
Can't you tell my voice from a 10-year-old kid?
Oh, I caramba. And then when he's in the bank.
What do you mean the bank is out of money? Insolvent? You only have enough cash for the next 3 customers?
Hey, what's this? Just a second here. No, I don't have your money here. It's in Bill's house and Fred's house.
Hey, what the hell are you doing with my money in your house, Fred?
My other favorite voice.
Oh, yeah. It's in Bill's house and Fred's house. Mo, again, just straight away to 100, like, what are you doing with my money in your house, Fred?
Do you know what the reference to was with that?
No.
It is It's a Wonderful Life. Because Jimmy really? Stewart.
I knew
Jimmy
it was James Stewart, all right, but.
Yeah. Jimmy, please. Jimmy Stewart.
Okay.
Yeah. But, like, that's it. He works in, like, the savings and loan in It's a Wonderful Life. And there's, like, a similar kind of thing.
Oh, right.
But, yeah.
See, like, that's a movie. And I was thinking it when I was watching Midnight Run, of so many old movies that I just haven't seen, particularly Robert De Niro movies. And we should almost do that as a What's So Great About. Because I haven't seen Mean Streets. I haven't seen Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Deer Hunter. I basically haven't seen any Robert De Niro movie pre-Goodfellas. Yeah. So I'd love to. I'd even love to watch Godfather 2 now, because I'd seen a clip of it. I was watching a thing on Sky Arts about Robert De Niro. I was like, jeez, these all look brilliant. I haven't seen one of them.
So once we do What's So Great About Adam Sandler, then we can do What's So Great About Robert De Niro.
He's got about 80,000 movies.
We'll limit it to like 8 picks, though. Like, okay, you know, we great. Can't do everybody's filmography. We'll be here for the rest of our lives.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
But yeah, so, yeah, you know, these are the type of things that
it's good to have them in the pocket. Have in the back pocket.
Absolutely. But we could, if we're doing De Niro, we could do Heat.
Yeah, haven't seen Heat either.
Could do, he's got Pacino. She got a great ass. Your head. It stuck right up it.
Why'd I get mixed up with that bitch?
Because she got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
Jesus. When I think of asses, woman's ass, something comes out of me.
Is that from the movie or is that just
from Heat? That's from Heat. He says that to Hank Azaria, funnily enough.
Brilliant.
Yeah, in Hank Azaria is in Heat. Pacino in Heat is just like, he's on like a 20 the whole time.
I figure he's always on a 20.
Give me what you got. Give me what you got.
Brilliant.
Great. Right. Such a great movie. Okay, can't wait to do it.
Come to
that. So, yeah, you know, we talk about Bart is getting rid of the substitute teachers. We should probably go back to like how they get on strike. And like Bart basically just stirring the pot.
Yeah, Bart's orchestrated this whole thing.
Yeah.
From hiding in the lockers to yelling like, "Bakark!" Yeah. And then like, that's it. And then going to the bank, like that crowd's like, I hear Skinner say the teachers are going to crack any minute. Purple monkey dishwasher.
I did like the interaction between Skinner and Chalmers.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Dummy up, you. And he's like, can't you hear them out there honking?
But I kind of thought that was a bit of a missed
instead of cookies.
If you like cookies. I thought they could have, you know, I'm sure they've got a lot going on, but you know.
But what I wanted to get to was when Skinner introduces the new substitute teacher, Leopold.
Alright, you listen up, you little freaks. Fun stops here. You're gonna shut your stinking traps and behave, damn it! This is one substitute you're not gonna screw with! Marge Simpson!
So good.
So good.
All right, you little freaks.
This is one substitute you're not gonna screw with! Marge Simpson!
I love the way his little eyes go wide when he says freaks, you little freaks.
He's so good. You need more Leopold.
Yeah, he's one of the main cast, isn't he? Like, who voices him?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Kateri or whatever. Probably Dan Castellaneta, actually. You're kind of into the home stretch here, really, when Marge...
The only thing I regretted was when Bart was crossing off his list, there was, like, Lionel Hutz. I wanted to see him, Barney, him try. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's loads, but I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's the joke, I guess, isn't it? Like, I did like the whole thing where it was the booby trap.
Yeah.
And it was the little thumbtack. He's like, no, the other one. Like, oh, right.
The one that would log. Kill her. Just even the little, like, teacher's pet is on his way back and all that. Yeah. Like, very school. Like,
I love how he's like, Bart, hi. It's your mom.
Yeah.
Hi, Barty.
But, like, when it gets to the whole... You know, Lisa's freaking out. Bart's loving it. Milhouse has his homeschooling. He's like,
We'll be
staying back late to make up for all this dilly-dallying.
Time for recess, Milhouse. The recess assignment is chapter 327.
Recess assignment.
Like, yay, recess. What a great-looking character. And I know. Voice and all. Substitute. It's so good.
But then when you get to the whole thing where they have the meeting, that is such a great gag. Where it's Skinner and Krabappel with the crowd.
This is Krabappel, why don't you begin?
Boo!
Oh, boo yourself. Our demands are simple. A small cost of living increase and some better equipment and supplies for your children.
Oh, that's right. Give it to him.
Yeah, in a dream world, we have a very tight budget to do what she's asking. We'd have to raise taxes.
Raise! Way too high as they are. Taxes
are dead. It's your children's future.
Children are important.
It'll cost you.
Go to taxes.
Come on.
All right, that's a good point. The taxes. The finger thing means the taxes.
Well, I guess this is a case where we'll have to agree to disagree.
I don't agree to that.
Neither do I.
Oh, this is a deli of a pickle.
God, the PTA has disbanded!
No, the PTA has not disbanded.
And then you get the guy reminiscent from when the B-Sharps played New York.
Does he know where someone will devour itself?
Yeah, the PTA has disbanded. He's also actually... What one was it?
Is he the one?
Quit
Stalin.
Watch the plan. Get on a plan.
There's a guy I want to see more of. This guy is
so high strung.
He knocks it out of the park every time. Yeah. And the fact that he jumps back it through the window and even does the reverse.
And then I actually forgot. Like, Jasper is also like a substitute teacher.
It's a peddler.
Peddling school canoe. You better believe that's a peddling. And just like the scene with like him and Abe, and he's like, what if I
you're on your own.
just constantly doing the same thing, like getting him closer.
Plus Professor Frink teaching kindergarten with the thing, like, can I so play good. With it.
That poor little kid.
I know. Like, no, you can't play with it. And then of course you have Mo, which is just, you know, classic Mo.
Poor Mo. It was great. Like, I did like the gag where Bart is basically saying, like, I can't believe you're on my turf. Like, how would you like it if I started sweeping the floors? She's like, I like it very much. And he's like,
yeah,
well, I guess I'm just going to have to get into the crawl space.
And the way he sort of saves it till he's running away into the crawl space. Like,
she's just like using the broom to like poke at him, like.
Plus the Lisa was saying, like, there's no way I'll get into an Ivy League school now. At this rate, I probably won't even get into Vassar.
I've had just about enough of your Vassar bashing, young lady. Like, Homer is still doing the really good work. Yeah. Like, he's just that assassin this week. Yeah. But, like, he only has, like, two or three gags, really.
Yeah, I was thinking that because he's very bit part in it. But, like, every line is sort of, like, gold, basically. But can I just jump around a bit here, right? Because at the end, like, I thought that the ending was very, like, I was only saying to Kerry when I was watching it, that, like, they've gone from spending the whole episode disputing to wrapping it up in the last 30 seconds.
But...
You know what I mean? The whole prison angle of prisoners in our own school. Like, oh, problem solved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, look, I think they get... They mined enough good stuff out of them. And, like, it is like a... It's a sitcom, essentially. Yeah. You know, they're always going to just, like, wrap it up. But I really like the whole... When they're locked in the office.
Come on! Were you worse?
You are going to be very sorry. Very sorry.
But I mean, I don't know if you have more to it. I mean, it was a bit of a... I don't know what you'd call it. You know what?
Let's get into ratings and we'll put a cherry on top.
Look, our ratings are down and the station is being swamped with angry calls and letter bombs.
Let me ask you, Terry. Mm-hmm. You son of a bitch. What did you think of this episode?
Well, my final thoughts and...
I forgot.
Yeah. 1 week in.
Can I get your final thoughts?
There you go. We'll fix it in post.
I'll edit all that bit before it, yeah.
No, double it, mate. It kind of left me, like... I thought it was going to be... Look, I'm just glad it wasn't terrible.
Yes.
Because it started off that way where I was like, oh. And it took a big upward trajectory. Definitely, like...
Yeah.
It started low and got high and then kind of tailed off. Just the last couple of minutes kind of tailed off a little bit. Like, it kind of tails off when Marge becomes the teacher.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
Like, after the initial scene where she... You know, the whole prank thing or whatever like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wasn't crazy on the whole, like, kids are taking my lunch money, you know, like.
Yeah. It was kind of a although, bit. Like, you can.
You did get a good gag with the dance. Yeah. You're doing the dance for marriage. So, yeah.
Can I ask who your MVP would be, Terry?
It was Bart.
Ooh.
El Barto. Lisa was a close second, I have to say.
I'm going
to
tell you now, Lisa was mine.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But yeah, Bart was great.
Kids are killing it this week.
Yeah, you don't normally say that.
Bart was great because it was just like, I was just in, like, normally I'm like that little shit where they got the balance right of, like, him just being in his element of, like, you know.
That scene of him flying the kite was like, it's so funny. And the fact that he's got his hands behind his back, he's got bags under his eyes.
Yeah.
He's technically not doing anything. Like, he's just flying a kite, but it's so good. Such a great visual.
So good. I was a bit disappointed in Skinner, to be honest. He plays it like too much of a straight man.
Yeah.
You know, and like Krabappel at the best of times I find a bit grating, to be honest. Like, you know, so she's not my favourite character.
Can I push you for a rating?
I'm gonna give it an 8.4.
Okay.
I thought it was a little bit worse than last week's one, even though last week's one was a bit like sketch comedy. It's still like See My Vest really gives it those extra 2 points. We'll say
To be honest, I'd be inclined to agree with you. Generally, I mean, I found it was almost like to a T the first 10 minutes. I was like, oh no, this is one of those ones that I thought was going to be good and now it's bad. And then literally like the last 10 minutes I was cracking up. And I kind of think they were really, like we were saying, there's not that much heart in it. It's a bit of a funny concept with, you know, jokes around it and stuff like that. I would give my MVP to Lisa, and my rating, Terry, since you asked, is an 8.1.
Okay. So, not too bad for you.
Not too bad. Now, last three episodes have been eights, or in the eights, should I say? I don't know why I don't deliberately give it a lower rating, deliberately than you, but it's quite remarkable. I don't think I'm looking back here on the previous ratings, and I don't think There was one episode that I gave a 9.2 and you gave it 8.9. And other than that, you have me beat.
Well, I guess I'm just more enthusiastic about it than you, you old bastard.
Putting the Die Hard in Die Hard Simpsons podcast.
So we are barreling towards the end of season 6. Mm-hmm. I think we got like three episodes left.
Hurtling at an alarming speed. Yes, three episodes left.
I must say, you do a pretty good database.
It's just part of my makeup.
It's just you, is it?
Yeah.
So I think next up we have Round Springfield.
Yes.
Ooh, which it's one a Bleeding is that? Gums episode.
Bleeding Gums and Lisa episode. Well, I guess they were saving all the heart for this one. And using up all the laughs too.
I tell you, I'll excuse that pun.
What? Did I pun?
Yeah, saving up the heart for the next episode. Because he's in there with it like a heart.
Oh, I wish I was clever enough to realise what I've done.
Buffoon.
Well, listen.
Shall we get our plugs in, Andy?
Yes, please.
Why don't you tell the good folks where they can find us on this interweb?
You can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, at Put It in H Podcast, on Facebook. We're still there. Still knocking around till they get their act together.
Still don't agree with their standards and practices,
no,
to be honest.
No, not at all. And email us, putitinhpod@gmail.com. What else, Terry?
Well, you can find us over on Patreon. Now, on Patreon, if you subscribe for the low, low fee of $5 a month, you will get
access...
A pint a month, yeah. And you know me, I enjoy my pints, guys.
Yep. You're paying for his IPAs.
You get access to our bi-weekly bonus episodes. Why, just tonight we're going to be recording our drug episode. We haven't come up for a proper title yet.
I'll think of
it. It could just be the drug episode.
I quite like that.
But then every other week you will get access to our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we basically take a topic and we try and see what's so great about that particular topic. At this miniseries, we're doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Andy is slowly but surely coming around.
Oh, I tell you, Iron Man 3 surprised me, that's all I'll say.
He is slowly getting there, folks. Now,
if you... go on.
I was going to say, next on the schedule is Thor the Dark World. Oh. So we'll see if we're still friends after that.
Last contentious Thor episode. Yeah. If you are interested in hearing more ramblings, dare I say somewhat more structured, since we're only really talking about one movie per episode, you can find us wherever you get podcasts. Just type in What's So Great About. And if you like that, there's, I think, 5 episodes there. If you like it, hop on over. And we also
jump on over the paywall, as they say.
Yeah, so we've 2 episodes of that a month and 2 other bonus episodes a month as well. Over
we're recording our drug one tonight. We've done ones on The Last Dance, the Royal Rumble, Disney Plus,
Terry's emotional journey, where Terry listens to my favorite emo tracks as a kid. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was very good. We also did one pilot season as well, where we both picked, a different show to watch that we hadn't watched, and you know, did a little review of those pilot episodes. So
loads there, plus a few goodies should be coming your way soon enough.
You get early access to our shows now. If you can't afford the fiver,
come on,
and I know things are come tough on. Out there if you can't on. Afford the fiver, another great way you can support us is by a rating or a review or both. 5 stars goes a long, long way in this podcast community.
Gets
us in the ratings, which helps us keep the lights on, helps us get our t-shirts for what we can sell to you guys. Snake-eating its tail sort of stuff. But even writing a review like really kind of bumps us up in the charts, like, and sort of, you know, even if it's just like the lads, good stuff, 5 stars.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be your life story, you know.
All we're really asking for, just think of it this, we're only asking for 5. Think of the song I Got 5 on it. We're asking for 5 stars.
And there's your outro music there.
Yep. Oh, just give me what a song. Anyway,
man, I gotta watch that movie Us again.
5 stars and $5.
Hey, we've kept this.
Yeah,
we've kept this long enough here, guys.
This has been a long one, actually. How long has this been? How long have we?
Over an hour.
Jesus. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. We're rambling now, so
So we shall see you guys next week. Until then, stay safe. Mm-hmm. Hope you are all looking after yourselves. And of course, Andy, why don't you give us a quick
listen? Look after yourselves.
No, it was a bon appetit.
Ah, the one time every fucking time I mess this up.
This guy, unbelievable.
Look, we didn't discuss this. Hold on, come back, everyone, come back. I tell you one thing, Terry. I'm getting bloody sick of this Skype business. Recording from home.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I miss the studio.
Yeah.
I miss the studio.
So hopefully not before long. But this fucking anyway. Thank you for sticking with us through the Skype
Turbulent times.
Yes. Anyway, on that note,
we shall
bon appetit.
Got there in the end, folks. Okay. Creep on in. See, I'm riding high. Whoa. Kinda broke the scene, y'all. So all I got is fire. I got fire. Player, give me some brew and I might just chill. But I'm the type that likes to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the STIDES. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So pass it across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. It's on, wrap my lips around the phony. And when it comes to getting another stogie, fools all kick in like Shinobi. Know me ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many hands to be. Probably let my friend hit bit. Unless you pull out the fat crispy $5 bill on the reel before it's history. Cause fools be having them vacuum lungs. And if you let them hit it for free, you hella dumb. That I'm dumb. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe. Avoiding all the flick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. Got me throwing off the land like where the bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up the dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homies nag me to take the dank out of the bag. Whenever I can, don't need no crutch. I'm so keyed up till the joint be burning my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogees get hit, but they know they got a pitch and bent. I roll a joint that's longer than your extension. Cause I'll be damned if you get high off me for free. Hell no, you better bring your own slip cheek. What's up, don't babysit that. Better pass the joint. Stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it. Cause I know the weed in my system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test to my PO. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty. But the Tangeray straight had me. Stop at the light, man. My yesterday thing got me hung off the night train. You fade, I fake, so let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hot sheets.
I wish I could fade the eight, but I'm no budget. Still rolling the two though, cutting the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land, getting smoke with my kid. Up in smoke, yuck, I spray your layer down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down to blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the VSOP up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's roller, I'm the roller. That's quick to fold a blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed, it's all you need. Kicking feet, cause we're IBs, we need to have like a foo-foo.